Good afternoon and welcome, everybody. This would be the Jeff Cameron Show right here on 93.3 Real Talk Radio and War Chant TV. Great to be with you. Hope you're doing tremendously well. Good Monday. Hope your weekend was awesome. Appreciate you being here with us. I'm Jeff. That's Tom. Director Matthew in the house. On Twitter, it's at Jay Cameron Show. Do not forget to like and subscribe. All right. So it is hard to imagine at this point, but it's true. Florida State has cemented a winning season for the first time in a long time. 2017, the last winning season. By the way, the other thing Florida State's done is guaranteed a winning record in conference, and that's the first time they've done that. Winning record in conference is 2016. Now, when you say that out loud, it's upsetting because you think, well, that's what the hell? How did we ever find ourselves in this state of ill repute where we're out here just losing records in the middling-ass ACC for a long time? Haven't had a winning one since 2016. But we do now. Both those check marks are there. Florida State will have a winning season, and they will go to a bowl. We already knew that. And now you're sitting here thinking about Florida. You're not thinking about Louisiana. That game will be played Saturday, and we will cover it, and we'll have a pregame show and all of that, but you're thinking about the Florida game because they're starting to play well, and we're playing really well, and there will be a buzz in the air for that football game, and that's exciting. That's good. I know Ira mentioned it in his 3-2-1 about how he and Corey were talking about that, and Corey was happy that Florida's playing well because he wants there to be a buzz. Now, most of us would never say they're happy Florida's playing well. At any point, just like I'm never happy if Miami's playing well. I don't care about the rivalry so much as to want them to play well. But it is true that when both teams are playing well, there is something extra in the air. You feel it. There's an energy. Days in advance, maybe even more than a week out, because there's something to lose. You're wrestling for control and power. We had our little power discussion a couple weeks ago and how we were able to summarily dismiss Miami in a way that... Get the hell up out of here. You're nothing. They were pests. Florida won't be that easy. And it's an important game. It's an important game. We look back on this game in the interim, obviously, and Florida State dominated like they have been dominating since they came out of the break. This has been a run that, you know, if you go back to after we lost to Clemson, I said, well, everything we're going to want to know about this team, this coaching staff, these players, we're going to find out in these five games. And Florida State is resoundingly answering the questions and the doubts and all of those things in a fashion that while I thought they could go 5-0 in those five games, I didn't think it looked like this. I didn't think it would look this one-sided. I thought they were on the cusp of being a pretty good football team. They're a very good football team. I think they are. I think they're a problem for a lot of teams right now. Just the way they're playing, their health, the confidence that they play with at key positions. The coaching staff is on a real roll, has their finger on the pulse of this team. I've talked a lot for several weeks in a row about Mike Norvell and Alex Atkins really putting together very good game plans every week. It's just, you never worry about it anymore. You just go into games knowing that the game plan will be there. It's always now about whether or not they'll execute the game plan. And if they do, they have a chance to really win and win big, apparently. And you know, I mean, you're going to get another big win on Saturday, this upcoming Saturday. So I don't remember the last time we had four straight rocking chair games. I mean, think about that. Four straight rocking chair games. You have to go back to 2013. It's been a long time since Florida State had reached the level of excellence that in conference, well, this next game's not in conference, but you know what I'm going with, in conference that they could just waylay people. They just treat them dismissively, as I'm alluding to, because they don't belong on the same field. Like, Syracuse really never had a chance in that game. And you could tell early on, you're like, this ain't going to work. And they had Schrader. Now, he's not what he was. I think he's playing hurt, obviously. But they were overwhelmed on both sides of the ball. You never really felt like Syracuse was in this game. Much the way you didn't feel like Miami was in the game. Much the way you didn't feel like Georgia Tech was in the game. But, you know, we go on and on right now. The team is just playing so well, so focused, and I think that's another part of this that makes them very lovable, because you get a road win against your arch rival in grandiose fashion. Do you lose concentration? Do you lose focus? No. If anything, you looked even more determined. You looked even more buttoned up. Like you knew, no letdowns. Let's go. We're still ascending. We're still reaching for something bigger and better. And that is a really likable trait. Not every team, not every good team has that trait. You know, you've seen good teams. I mean, we all watched 2014. We've seen really good teams just kind of play to their competition, maybe get bored, come off a big win, kind of sleepwalk through the next game, win the game, but they don't look too impressive. Florida State seems to be eager to prove more and more and more from one week to the next. They seem determined to reach whatever this elusive ceiling is, right? They're trying to get to this other place, and he keeps pushing them knowing there's more in there. And that's cool. That's fun to watch. I think this season, in a lot of ways, has rekindled some of this fan base's love for college football. Like, college football Saturdays are fun. Again, the product's been really good. You and I have noted that. The product's been really good this year. But I don't think it's a coincidence that we're a little bit more in tune with the entire product because our Saturdays are exciting. We look forward to game day. We look forward to watching this team play. And then I think that bleeds over into the sport in general. Like you, when you're part of it, when you're part of the narrative, when you matter in the big picture. It's like every year when the NCAA tournament, basketball tournament happens, if Florida State is part of that, you're even more excited about the rest of the tournament. You're paying attention to the other teams. You want to know where you fit in that puzzle. Unfortunately, this year, I don't think we're going to get that opportunity. The basketball team's terrible. Now, we're not going to get sidetracked. Back to us. I think that you look at the whole of college football right now because your eyes are telling you that Florida State's good. You're looking at that team and you go, you know what? They're not good, like, for us. They're not good, you know, in the ACC. They're good, period. They're good. They're a good football team. And now you're kind of like, well, how good? You don't always get to answer that question, and that's always going to be a point of contention, I think, amongst fans. Some people think that if Florida State, as they're playing currently, is the top five team. Well, I don't know that I would go there. I might argue that they're a top 15 team as they're playing currently. Some of you might say, I wouldn't say top five, Jeff, but top 10. I could argue top 10. That's fine. Think about what we're talking about. Think about the conversation we're having and how cool that is. We're arguing about whether or not Florida State's a top 5, top 10, or top 15 team. Far cry from where we've been. And we matter. We're only getting better. The articles written throughout the country about college football as a whole tend to mention us these days. Hey, by the way, take a look over there. Florida State team's not somebody you want to play right now. Wonder what bowl they're going to go to. How far can they climb? Can they get to 10 wins with a bowl win? Well, obviously, you got to win your next two to get there, but it's within the realm of possibility. I began thinking last night to some degree, Tom, like, what if we play Bama in a bowl? Wouldn't that be cool?
It would be cool, and it wouldn't be determined before the kickoff.
Correct.
Like it would have been each of the last 5, 6, maybe 7 seasons. Yeah.
Right? I mean, you're starting to think to yourself, like, well, would we hang with Bama? Yeah, we would. Yeah, we would. Say that out loud. I think it's hard for a lot of people to wrap their minds around that idea, but I think we would, without question. And, you know, I don't know if we'd get a ton of stops, but I don't think they'd do a whole lot of stopping us right now.
Yeah, because of the variety of what we can do offensively. That would be a game where you would look at Jordan Travis and say, all right, over 3 Bills, that's what we need for you or from you. And you could count on that. And then there are other opponents that have decent secondary player, like Syracuse, just lay everybody back in coverage
and
say,
run on them.
All right, underneath throws and runs. Can we do that? Absolutely we can. You look at the offensive line metrics in the conference, and they put that graphic up on Saturday night where they said, you know, it's number one in yards per carry, total yards per game, and then the fewest sacks allowed in the conference. 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
That is unbelievable. And that word is overused. But that is literally unbelievable from where we were in the preseason to where we are now. Full marks across the board to everybody involved that makes that happen. And it's largely on the players who decided to get better and listen to Alex Atkins and develop.
They've gotten better, and they're going to keep getting better because there's more talent behind the starting group that's going to emerge, and they've been allowed to develop and get stronger and learn and get better because the group in front of them has played so well that we haven't had to supplant them. So that's really good, and we'll remember them fondly because of it. You know, we're always going to look back on the guys that bought in and decided, yeah, I'll go there. I'll take a leap of faith. I think they're moving in the right direction. I think those are good coaches. I think they can make me better. I think I can arrive at my goals if I go there and take my chance. That's awesome. That's awesome. And we'll be forever appreciative. Much the same way we were talking about Jermaine Johnson and Kier Thomas last year. Like, thanks, guys. Thanks for, you know, you could have gone anywhere you wanted to go. But they bought into what Mike Norvell was telling them about bettering themselves, becoming leaders, teaching the others how to work day-to-day in practice throughout the year. And they went on, and, you know, we root for those guys. We root for those guys to do well because they bought in at a time when it wasn't easy to buy into FSU.
Oh, when they got here, the boulder wasn't moving. It was completely stopped. And they got that thing rolling. It's just very slowly, but it was moving. And now this year, look at that thing. It's rolling down the hill.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
Cool. Yeah, well, it gets you to a place where you start talking, like I was just doing. You start thinking about the cool bowl matchups and what kind of test do you want. You know, on the one hand, I'd like to win 10 games again. You know, if you want to give us some pushover and get an easy 10th win, I'm down with the 10th win. But on the other hand, I just like to see this group continue to be tested and work hard. I think they'll be focused, too. I don't know how many – the problem with bowl games – anymore is you don't know who's going to play. So, you know, it used to be that, you know, your team was going to play that team and those two teams would look like they currently look. So you knew that, right? Now you don't know that. Now you're like, well, may not have this guy, and this guy, and they may not, you know, so you just don't know. It's hard to project. But I do kind of feel like, and they'll get a real test. That Florida team's tough. They're not a bad team. They're playing well right now. When you watch them execute, you look at them, they're playing pretty well.
Yeah, and you could see it in the Georgia game. I alluded to this after that weekend, where in the second half there was that mini moment where you said, oh, well, this is not a dead issue just yet.
Yeah.
And Napier was calling strange things. There was a one third down and long where he calls a run up the middle. And I'm like, what the hell? Are you conceding the game? And it's also, he's calling that for the larger message to be sent, that we need to be physical. And that's what Florida will bring to the table, offensively speaking, is they'll be the most physical offense we'll have seen in some time since that three-game stretch, and maybe more physical than those teams. They're not explosive at wide receiver, but they've got a quarterback who can make plays. Then the question is, on the other side, is the disparity in their defense and our offense greater than the disparity when our defense takes the field and plays Richardson and the Napier offense? I think the answer to that is yes, but that doesn't mean that Florida can't hang in that game and Florida can't present problems for us. And this is why I like the schedule the way it's set up these days, where you have more, something closer to a pushover in between this past weekend and the Florida game, because Thanksgiving week usually robs us of a day or two of coverage where you really can focus on this rivalry game. I feel like it doesn't usually get its due, and especially now with the shortened week that game's played on Friday. But now, the way the schedule lays out, it's Florida week for 7 or 8 business days.
I was going to say, it's Florida week starting today. It's like there's no, you know. Now, look, if this Louisiana team was the Louisiana team of a year ago.
Oh, 100%, you couldn't say that.
No, you'd have to lock it in, but they're not. And they haven't been all year long. And so this is a game, obviously, Florida State should take care of business. And, you know, I Florida's got a Vandy team that did just win an SEC game for the first time since 2019. So that's rather remarkable. But I don't think it's enough for them to suddenly be brimming with confidence and give Florida a scare. So, yeah, these two teams will kind of go through the obligatory week before and get their win, and then we'll go from there. But lots of things to prattle on about today in light of yet another blowout victory for Florida State over Syracuse. It was it's something to watch Trey Benson every week. You know, we're watching a star. We're watching a guy become a star, and that's pretty cool. He runs now with not just speed, but a ton of power, a whole lot of confidence. He's got the right kind of patience instead of that version of him early in the season where you're like, you got to go, man. You got to go. It's the nice mix right now Sometimes it looks like he's shot out of a cannon when he gets the edge. Other times you see him patiently waiting for that play to develop, especially counter. Does a real good job of letting that unfold. And this offensive line is just dominating people. And I don't remember the last time I could say that. I don't know. Did I even say that in 2013?
Probably.
I mean, I probably so. Yeah, probably against certain teams we would have called for domination.
We remarked often that season that you had no margin for error. You know, and you needed to get lucky there health-wise.
Yeah,
they were extremely thin on the offensive line. This group has proven in a way to be deeper than that group because they've already lost a couple of key pieces and were without some of their players for portions of this season, and they just keep on rolling. It's fantastic.
Mm. Just let that marinate for a second, everybody. Just ass kickings every Saturday. You're like, oh, it's like the olden days, Tommy. I remember coming in here watching these ass kickings on the regular. It was glorious. Never got tired of them. People used to say, Florida State fans are spoiled. No. We recognized that it wasn't normal to be so great. It's just who we were. I'd like to get back to that. I'd like to be accused of being spoiled. It's Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio. War Chant TV. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back guaranteed. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Good on you, Z-Chan. Appreciate you. He writes, this is for T. Lang. Hope you're feeling better. Scale of 1 to 100. How big is that LSU game in September? Yeah. I'm excited to get that opportunity to play them again next year. Obviously, it'll be a lot of fun as that program has risen, and we have as well. Colby, awesome to be a part. Awesome to be at the game Saturday. Beat down in every sense of the game. Jimbo isn't going bowling. Great weekend. How worried are you about Alex Atkins leaving? Let's back the Brinks truck up. Thanks for everything, guys. Thanks, Colby. Appreciate that a lot. Well, I think it's a matter of time. Alex will get poached. He will be a head coach somewhere else, obviously. And, you know, that's what happens when you hire good coaches and you start winning games. People come and look at your coaches and want to know why you're winning, and they identify guys that are, you know, partly responsible for that. So I do think, though, he'll be back next year. So just ride the wave right now and enjoy, unless there's an offer in the wings that we don't know about that is bigger than Charlotte. If that's the case, then I think he'll, you know, then maybe we'll be surprised together. But as of right now, if it's just the Charlotte job that we're worried about Alex Atkins being offered, I think he would stay here and not take that job. I don't know. You know, I do know that when it comes to assistant coaches, if their dream has always to have been a head coach, like if they got into the business with the idea that someday I'm going to have a team and I'm going to be the head coach and I'm going to run it the way I want to run it, I've got ideas about that, I'm yearning to do it. Some of these guys, they'll take the first head coaching job they're ever offered because they believe in their methodologies, they believe in their ability to turn whatever hurting program around that offered them the job. Others take a little step back, realize it's the right job that you got to take. Because if you take just any job, see Walt Bell, UMass, and you don't have resources and you don't have opportunities to win games, you soil your reputation. As good as it is now, it quickly regresses into an ugly area of, oh my God, did you see that stint he had as a coach where they won 2 games in 2 years? You know, that can happen quickly if you take the wrong job. Some guys know, listen, I'm ascending. I'm relatively young. I'm well paid here. I've got a good gig. We got good players coming back next year. Another good season, and I probably have my pick of the litter.
Right, and what more is there to accomplish? Well, there's a ton to accomplish here at Florida State. You know, in certain positions, like let's just say that you were Nick Saban's defensive coordinator and Kirby Smart was for a long, long time. What more was there to accomplish at Alabama for Kirby? There was nothing more.
No.
In a way, the same thing for Brent Venables last year when he took the OU job.
Well, hell, it had been that way for a long time. He'd been on for all kinds of jobs. I was like, come on, man.
That's what I'm saying. And if you aspire to be a head coach,
yeah,
then the other thing is you want to take the right job because you want to stay a head coach. Because if you get one crack at it and it's awful, you may never be a head coach again. Mm-hmm. And you might just be relegated to position coach or coordinator for the rest of your career. So that's why you got to be judicious. The one thing I'd say, too, to the Z-Chan part, you know, the Duquesne game served a purpose, too. That mattered to play in week zero. Yeah, I thought that was more valuable than even a scrimmage because even though the talent you're going against is worse, markedly worse, you're going through the emotions of a game day. You understand what it feels like to play in front of a crowd together, and they looked fresh out the gate against LSU. So I feel like every game this season has had a real purpose to it. Even in the NC State second half, which taught us a hard lesson, I'm not sure you're as mature to go on the road to Syracuse and handle business.
Yeah, without that hurt.
Without that lesson.
Yeah.
That, hey, you might think you can take your foot off the gas. You never can take your foot off the gas.
Yeah, and you know, I think Mike has continued to foster that mentality ever since. You know, you see the way that he calls games, and I wanted him to score that extra touchdown against Miami, and he did. I wanted him to score that touchdown against Syracuse the other night, and he did.
That punk kid after that third down.
Well, I laughed about that. I remember thinking, man, read the room. Have a clue. You've been bastardized all night long. Florida State has made the Syracuse defense their bitch all night long, and you're going to flex. Okay. Now I got to go for it. Now I've got to score.
That's some things you'd see around here. That's
It's the worst.
With our secondary for years. And this little downturn, because you cited it's been since 2017 since we've had an over 500 season.
That's correct.
In 2016 since we've been over 500 in the conference. You know, in that time between then and now, you saw a whole lot of whatever the hell that is after third and goal.
Yeah, and I hated that team. I hated when we were that way. You know, a guy overthrows a receiver by 40 yards and our guy's giving him the incomplete sign like he did something. Like that. It's just you're so focused on the wrong things at that point, and you see it. And now you don't. You don't see that. You saw it from Syracuse, and it was funny. And then we called a timeout and scored a touchdown. And I doubt it was because he decided, well, screw that kid. It's, again, fostering the mentality of, oh, no, we're going to score here. So they're fun to watch because they're very physical. I think football should be played that way. Very, very physical. I think that they clearly play for one another. You know, that is an element of football that, you know, it's one of those things where we talk about, does that team do that? I think you have to cover a team or watch a lot of games before you can decide that about a team, right? But we suspected it because we do have access to practice, thankfully. And then we watched the way that they played with each other and the way they celebrated together. It was always group. It was always group-oriented. It was never individual. And when you get that, too, that's special. Not every group has that. Football, college football is a transient sport. People come and go. They graduate. They move on. And it's, you know, it's tough to engender that, to get that. You got to have really good leaders. You got to have guys that buy in to your way of doing things, your beliefs about hard work and building culture. And then hopefully for you, the positions of leadership – the natural, you know, leaders, for example, anybody who plays quarterback, whether they're quiet, they're loud, something in between, doesn't really matter. They have to be a leader of some kind. Now, they have to be themselves, but they have to be a leader. And you need that guy to be able to embrace everything that you're telling him as the gospel. I mean, they've got to be able to believe in that. Like, deep down, they have to believe in that because that is the only way then that they can hold everybody else accountable. Because they believe the doctrine. They believe what you're saying is true, and they see the results. Eventually, you have to have results, and this is the year of results. This was the time, and you couldn't have waited another year. You could not have waited another year. That's what this season has meant. It has been so important. We said it before the year. We're saying it right now. This was the year you had to prove something. You had to prove that your way of doing things is the right way of doing things, and that this is a foundation that is sturdy, that you could build upon this, draw others in. The only way to draw others in is not to tell them what you believe, but to espouse it to those kids in the locker room, have them go out believing that, working hard, and getting results. And they got the results.
Well, I think of where they are right now. From 0-4 last year, it's been a 12-6 run for this football program. And in each of those six losses, you're in that football game. You can win every single one of them. So there hasn't been a game since 0-4 where they've just been outclassed. And that's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
That's amazing, because where we were and the relative talent that we currently have on this roster also says that you've got work to do. So what they're doing is they're building something that's greater than the sum of its parts.
Sure.
And we talked about this and reflected on it last week during the show and then the pregame show, that we're running out of time here on the season, but I got to say, something gave me solace this morning. The last however many seasons, handful of seasons, football was over when the Florida game wrapped up. And in the COVID year, whatever our final game was, that Duke, I forget. But football season was just over. That's it. Not anymore. You've got another month, bowl prep, a bowl game, and you have hope on signing day and for the transfer portal. All of these storylines bleed into December. We got so spoiled for basically 30 years that when the Florida game was over, there's still a lot more to go. There's more to cover, and there's some more developments. Well, it hasn't been that way in a while here, and now it is again. So even though two Fridays from now, when that game is over, that's the end of the 12-game season, there's still a lot more to do.
Well, you got signing day, and it's going to be interesting there, and then you're going to have the practices leading up to whatever that bowl is, as you're saying. We're going to have decisions made by players. I look forward to some of the transfer portal stuff, and I just get excited because we seem to draw people all the time there. I see you, Steven. My goodness gracious.
Holy Jesus.
Indeed. Thanks for the contribution, good sir. He writes, FSU is in the top 20 in offense, defense, and special teams. Now we just need to get some dudes. Jeff, Tom, how much would I need to donate to get a round of golf on the books with you guys? I live in Nashville. I like Nashville, by the way, Stephen, but would definitely make the trip down to Tally for that. It's $7,000, Stephen. It's $7,000. We've had a going rate around there. It's Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. If I slow it down, I can say it better. I would tell you, we got in the coop tonight, right?
Should be, yeah.
I think so, right?
I will confirm it once it's fully scheduled.
I saw you get nervous, but I didn't realize that maybe
I mean, it usually happens.
Yeah.
But sometimes guys need treatment, or they've got hall or whatever. So that's the other thing when you're doing NIL shows.
I'm thinking back on, you know, the start of this season and what we thought, you know, what we thought the team would be, the good and the bad and everything in between, and the things we were right about and the things we were wrong about. And, you know, I think the greatest surprise, without question, certainly is just how good this offensive line has been. It's such a joy to be able to talk about that and to say it with a straight face, you know, and to watch them getting better and better and better each week. If you think, you know, I watched the LSU-Arkansas game, and I'm looking at their front, and I'm watching that freshman linebacker, and I'm looking at that team, and I'm thinking, man, we handled them pretty well in that game when you think back on it. Really, I mean, Mike was in a real good zone for most of that game as a play caller. The game plan, once again, was very, very good.
Jordan knew where to go with the football at all times, too.
He was never at a loss. I think about the ability to run and some of the things we did in that game, and then I watch that group, and I see the way that they've gone on to have the year that they have, and I just, again, I continue to smile and think about how much better that group is from just a year ago and where I think that group is going. Like, I think they're going to legitimately be, at some point here in the next 2 years, I think they got a chance to be a pretty elite offensive line. Because think what you're infusing. Like a fully realized, stronger, bigger version of the athlete that Armella is. and how good he's going to be. We talk about his feet, how good he's going to be.
He fits this scheme so well.
Doesn't he? And if you get – now, listen, again, I like a lot of the young linemen. A lot of the young linemen are very impressive. You can tell they're guys that are going to be very good football players. And God forbid you get, like, one more transfer portal guy in here. Let's just say some lineman sees this and is like, wow. Florida State is running the ball at will. There's a lot right there to like, and they decide to come in here. I mean, you got to balance it, right? You got to balance it because you already have a lot of guys on the roster that are like, hey, you know. But
you got a lot of guards, so that guy's a tackle.
That guy's a tackle. We don't need another guard. We got plenty of you guards.
Even though you lose both your starting guards, I feel like you've got many options.
Yeah. So they there's that. I think it's time for most of us, as we continue to have the conversation, to wonder, you know, I guess Jordan Travis is back, or, you know, what do we think? I tend to think, yes, he'll be back here. A lot of people ask that question every time we come on the airwaves in the chat. That's one of the first things that comes up, because obviously replacing him would be difficult. He's a very good college quarterback. He's very comfortable in this system. He and Mike have a good rapport, and he's become a much better decision maker and passer of the football. So I do think he could probably make more money here just coming back this next year. And I would be very surprised if he didn't, to be honest with you. I think I would be pretty surprised.
I think that has to be at the top of the retention budget conversation. Yeah, I mean, I don't think his NFL or professional future would be hindered by one more year of coming back. I think it would only be strengthened because of the brand recognition. He's going to be in the All-ACC and year-end awards watch list conversation right out the gate.
Yeah, he will.
And you love when you play in a Week 1 setting. I don't think we'll get a Week 0 game next year because all of our non-conference games are set. But when you play on Sunday night of Labor Day weekend with the hype machine that LSU-Florida State game will be now, you're off to a really good start in terms of capitalizing on your own brand. And that's what kids have to think about now.
Yeah. It's the class right now is not where we want it to be, and we've talked about that quite a bit. That's the next big step to take. But even if you're not going to overwhelm anybody in recruiting from a high school kid standpoint, Tom, I do think, obviously, we know how successful they've been in the portal. So I'll be interested to see who else they're looking to grab. And we always, these days, that's the way you really judge a class, right, is what happens when you put the finishing touches on it through the portal.
Yeah, this is it's a dynamic and fluid situation until about spring ball. And sometimes not even then. Sometimes you get, you know, a player or two after spring is concluded because their own position battles at their current institution are settled. They don't make the cut, and they say, where can I make the cut? And, I mean, whatever we're doing in scouting with that is excellent. I just hope that also we have joked about this, wink, wink, nod, nod, for the bag men in the past with high school recruiting. In the portal, teams don't wait sometimes for kids to enter the portal. They make sure that they check with whoever they need to check with. Not directly with the kid, because that would be a violation. But here's hoping we're having those conversations, like yesterday, like last week, last month.
Yeah. You know, I hope we're violating every NCAA rule there is.
See, I don't go that far.
Yeah,
I know you will.
I hope that we are. I think you're just doing your job at that point. Because everybody else you're competing against is. So, yeah. The NCAA is sort of an afterthought these days. In the sport of football, where guys just get paid out openly. So, you know, what are we talking about here? You know, I'm pretty sure USC had a suspicion that they could go grab the Biletnikoff Award winner from Pitt, you know, before he put his name in the portal. I have a suspicion.
I tend to agree with that. However, I just always keep on the JCS PR firm cap. Sometimes you shed it, but that's why if you're the founding member and the CEO,
right, then you can do that.
You can shed the cap and just say what you want to say sometimes.
Ian writes, not Jimbo, he's legit.
He don't cheat, he don't lie.
But he does lose a lot of football games in a row. That is every week. I played that Auburn hunch, thankfully. And that is just a dreadful game to watch. You do wonder. You know, I know that's schadenfreude, and we're winning games, and I like to bring the attention back to us specifically to us, just because when you're winning, you don't need to really, you know, revel in others. You don't have to worry about them. Well done, Matthew. But I'm beginning to wonder. I mean, I didn't think there was any chance that A&M would cut him loose this year.
I just don't see how you don't cut him loose. Do you think the situation is going to get better?
They're not in love with the idea of parting with $80-plus million, but again.
My point is you're going to pay that to him anyway. Right. So would you rather pay it now and just be done with it? I know that means that you're going to need more money up front, but I think they're good for it. That's a situation that's pretty – cash is ready. It's on hand. Liquidity, they have it.
Well, you make a good point. Is you're going to have to pay it either way. It's just over a longer period of time. And if you don't believe that he can salvage the culture and they're just going to keep on losing games because they hate him and that locker room and each other, then you might as well do it. But
I mean, how about that? The bizarre post from the player who says that he was suspended for wearing sleeves?
I don't.
That can't be true, but I mean, with Jimbo, it very well might be true. The thing is, he wore them against Bama. So, what the hell, man?
I don't know. I just know that when things went sour here and he had made a decision in his mind and had checked out, and when he realized he had lost the team, I mean, we all saw the promissory notes thing and we were like, what the hell? This is crazy. But
Derwin, talk to me.
Yeah.
How do I reach these kids?
Yeah. No, that was the weirdest thing ever, and it was made for TV.
Show them your heart, coach.
All of it was awful. All of it. Yeah. But that is what desperate people do in that situation. Like, hey, Why don't we make something up? Like, I'm asking you, how do I reach the kids?
Come on, Showtime. Yeah, let's work together.
Let's all it'll make for good television. I'll play it all the way. The DOS.
Coach, so, isn't that clutter?
Yeah.
Isn't that the definition of clutter?
Yeah. But when you see that, man, when you lose a locker room like that, it's almost impossible to get it back. It's crazy. It's nearly impossible to do. Jeff Cameron, Show 93.3 Real Talk Radio and War Chant TV.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
It's always fun to read a quote from your head coach. We've been dominant the last 2 weeks, but we can be better. That's the push. It's also cool that he noted, just how good the defense has been, but also that the receivers did a hell of a job blocking. That's something that I never gets old. It's one of the reasons that Micah Pittman is so fun to watch play football. He's a good kind of jerk. He will block you into the bench and talk to you about it. It's so cool to watch somebody take that much joy in blocking. And you know, to sacrifice for somebody else's gain. It's really, really, it's important, obviously. It's a big part of how this team is able to run the ball so effectively. It's not just that initial line. They block downfield.
And it's a standard that's being set for the next wave
that's
of
correct.
Receivers. That's the important thing, is that you got to build these things so you pass them on. You talked about it earlier with Jermaine Johnson and Keir Thomas. They started some of this conversation, but now it's all transfers too. Isn't it crazy?
Yeah, it is crazy.
They're the ones that are setting the standard.
All those guys, too, continue to emerge and play physical themselves when they get opportunities, when they catch the football. You know, you're seeing that. Obviously, the stiff arms were on display in this game and the power. Yeah, that poor kid was de-pantsed. That's a toughie. Emasculated right there. But, you know, that's, again, about leverage and want to and all those things. Like, he knew, I've got an opportunity here.
And it's recognition from the quarterback. I mean, that is
being
alert to the fact that Syracuse gives you immense cushions. Who cares if it's far hash mark? And then also the precision of the play. And I think McClain does a good job catching it with his body coming back towards the line of scrimmage, because it's a called run with that as an option on the outside. But it's got to be within a yard of the line of scrimmage, because you know Flanagan might be overzealous to call an illegal man downfield in that situation. So it's, and that crew would be. So that's well done. A lot of little details on that play that make it memorable.
When you talk about the details, that's something they've gotten a lot better at all year long. I feel like that the details in the passing game, the details of blocking in the run game by receivers, all of that has gotten, they're technically sound. That's why we don't get a lot of holds downfield, because they're technicians. You know, hand placement's huge there.
Yeah, and it was a questionable call on Johnny on the one drive, too.
Right.
You could, but
yeah,
of course you will. Of course you're going to call that.
Well, you know, it's almost like when you see a big receiver like that on a little guy, sometimes they're like, oh, he must be doing something wrong. But I think, you know, the reputation in a good way precedes this group, because we don't get a lot of those flags. And I think it's because the officials the week of certainly recognize, you know, they get opportunities to look at what these two teams are trying to accomplish, how they play the game, how they execute. Reputations follow you. If you're a team that commits a ton of penalties, especially a particular type of penalty, then they're going to look for it even more, because they know that you've been prone to it. But when you do things technically right, that also follows you into games. And they know, just because a play is successful or a guy's getting, you know, brutalized on a run play, doesn't mean he's being held. It just means that we take great pride in doing it and executing it the right way.
The other thing I'd say, though, is even though Syracuse got flagged for a lot of holds, If Flanagan and the crew worked for registers, there would be pity sausage given out on Saturday, because they were holding all the game long. They couldn't do anything about it, and the defense deserved 2 points. They deserved 2 points in that game. It wasn't just because that's intentional grounding out of the end zone.
Correct.
Leonard Warner is abused physically because it's going – I mean, Schrader holds onto the ball way too long in his end zone, and it's got to be a hold, and it's right there to be called. And unfortunately for the defense, it should have been 3-2, plus whatever we scored on the offensive side. But that's really the only gripe I have with the crew.
They actually did a pretty good job. They
called a lot of things against the Qs.
Well, they got that right. And they also just, you know, I hope we're getting to a place. I got to give him a lot of credit. What's his name? The color analyst.
Hasselbeck.
Did a very good job of almost like sighing or moaning when the play-by-play announcer tried to, I think he was trying to elicit a helmet-to-helmet on the sack.
On the Deloach play?
Yes.
Yeah, it was close.
Yeah, but again, we're playing football out here. There was no intent there. Intent should matter. It's got to matter. You can't willy-nilly start throwing flags because guys' angles change as they're being tackled.
I agree. I think that could have been flagged for targeting, and I think it maybe should have, because of what Deloach does to put his own head in danger. I don't think it's – I agree with you in most of these cases. I'm just saying the form on that tackle was dangerous to himself.
Perhaps.
The crown goes – I mean, he goes straight down.
We
it's like, man.
Really – but he's taking an angle that he thinks is going to be here, and as he comes down, it ends up being head-to-head.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah, I just – we need to get to a place away from where we were when they initially went after targeting so hardcore. And unless it is readily apparent – that somebody is attempting to headhunt like that, the kill shot, as they used to call it, we've got to play on. I mean, helmets are going to hit. We've got to move on. You see, the NFL gets it right for the most part. The NFL just pretty much gets it right. They're like, that's why they're wearing helmets. Sometimes they hit. It just happens. And I was saying this the other day when you and I were talking. You know, the SEC seems to understand that. Those officials understand it's a brutal game. When you watch the start of SEC games, usually the home team, because those atmospheres are all really good. Georgia, Tennessee, Ole Miss, Alabama, all those atmospheres are great. They're LSU. It's always really intense, right? And you always get the sense that the home team is trying to establish a physicality early in the game, a violence early in the game. And I love that the SEC officials are like, yeah, well, this is part of it. This is a road test, and it's going to be violent, and it's going to be physical, and unless I catch somebody headhunting, I'm just going to assume that nobody's out here intending to lead with their helmet.
Which brings us back to Florida Week that lasts over the course of 2 weeks. That game is here is huge, and that you put these three results back-to-back-to-back. I mean, even if you had beaten Syracuse in ugly fashion, 27-17 or something along those lines, doing what we did to Miami two Saturdays ago ensured that people were going to get in the car, even though it's inconvenient relative to the holiday, and they're going to make their way over here for a Friday night game.
Yeah, reward this bunch without question.
Absolutely.
You got to reward this bunch. They've earned it.
This is the game. There are a lot of times where I'm okay with being in my studio and in my home, my office, and watching these games. Cold weather, Florida, night kick, damn it. I'm jealous of everybody who gets to go to that one.
Well, it's going to be great, Tom. I'll be at that one.
Sure you will be. You don't want to do the watch along instead?
No, I'm good, man.
All right, that's fine.
Take it to the roof. Feel the energy rise up. I always love that, too. You feel that in a way that you don't for other games. The only other one is the Miami game, sometimes the Clemson game. Certainly felt it that night against Oklahoma all those years ago. Hour number two, forthcoming. Stay with Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio and War Chant TV.